factus sum minister secundum donum gratiae Dei, vedates mihi secundum operationem virtutis eius. I have been made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, which is given to me according to the operation of his power. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, it was a special grace given to the saint we commemorate today for his feast day to be during the Christmas season, a distinguished position near the crib of Jesus. He was well known during his life for the sweetness of his virtues, the childlike simplicity of his heart, and the humility and tenderness of his love. Even today he is famous for bringing back 72,000 Calvinists to the faith and teaching countless other souls true devotion to God. At the time of his life, Luther and Calvin had put forward the idea that the church is a worn-out system with no influence over men's minds. Calvin established himself in Geneva, which was the see of our dear saint for today. Calvinism, as a heresy from the true faith, sought to put forward this faith in Jesus Christ as something hard, dour, and ultimately very poor. Their doctrines made a hard morality and a simplistic lack of beauty the measure of the true faith. It is as though all that God has given us is not for us to enjoy and use as he intended. It is as though we are not to return in thanksgiving to God the best of what he has given us. St. Francis de Sales countered the harsh and false doctrines of this heresy with an ardent charity. He would often be seen walking through villages converted to Calvinism with a smile on his face, leaving people confused to see a happy Catholic bishop walking in their streets. A marked contrast from what they were taught being a good Christian meant. After all, our dear saint was known to say, "A sad saint is a sorry saint." It was said of him by a learned bishop of the time, "If you want heretics to be convicted of their errors, you may send them to me. But if you want them to be converted to the faith, send them to the Bishop of Geneva." St. Francis de Sales was sent as a living image of Jesus, opening his arms and calling sinners to repentance, the victims of heresy to truth, the just to perfection, and all men to confidence and love. The Holy Spirit had rested on him with all his divine power and sweetness. More than once, during the liturgies celebrated by St. Francis, doves rested on him, reminding the congregation assembled of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit at our Lord's baptism in the Jordan. This was seen as an appropriate symbol of St. Francis's loving spirit. It is quite obvious to biographers of his life that the disciple who he took as his model was the one referred to as the beloved of our Lord, St. John the Evangelist. Like him, St. Francis is the apostle of charity, and the simplicity of the great evangelist caressing an innocent bird is reflected with perfection in the heart of the Bishop of Geneva. A mere look from St. John, a single word of his, used to draw men to the love of Jesus. And the contemporaries of St. Francis would say, "If the Bishop of Geneva is so amiable, what, O Lord, must thou be?" St. Francis took ill for the last time in his life on December 27th in the year 1622, the feast of St. John the Evangelist. After celebrating Mass and distributing communion to the Sisters of the Visitation of Holy Mary, an order he founded, he took to bed for the last time. On the following day, the Feast of the Holy Innocents, his soul left for its Creator. He was a worthy companion of the innocents who died in the place of our Lord all those years ago in Bethlehem. Holy Mother Church, however, could not keep either of these 2 days for the feast of our great saint, as they were already chosen for the great evangelist and the holy innocents. It was fitting, however, to keep his feast day during the 40 days of Christmas. So January 29th was chosen, the first available day after the octave of Epiphany. Christmas was the favorite feast of our dear patron. Out of the divine charity in his heart, he spoke quite eloquently of our newborn king in his letters. In a letter to a religious of the Visitation, he pointed out how our Lord chose to be born on Christmas Day so that he could visit us. And in turn, we were to visit him in the crib. In this, we should give him all the love of which we are capable, and give him a warm welcome of hospitality, sing to him the sweetest of carols, and above all, adore him very earnestly and very sweetly, and with him adore his poverty, his humility, his obedience, and his meekness, as did his most holy mother and Saint Joseph. Like the shepherds watching over their flocks, we too should watch over our affections. Being warned by the angel to go and pay our homage to the divine child and offer him as an earnest token of our eternal loyalty, the fairest of the lambs, our love unreserved and undivided. He would encourage everyone to visit the divine infant often during Christmas. In a letter to St. Jane Frances de Chantal, with whom he founded the Order of the Visitation, he wrote, "May the sweet infant of Bethlehem ever be your happiness and your love, my very dear mother. Oh, the loveliness of this little child. I imagine I see Solomon on his ivory throne, all beautifully gilded and carved, which, as the scripture tells us, had no equal in all the kingdoms of the earth. Neither was there any king that could be compared for glory and magnificence with the king that sat upon it. And yet I would 100 times rather see the dear Jesus in his crib than all the kings of the world on their thrones. However, when I see him on the lap or in the arms of his blessed mother, he seems to be more magnificent on this throne. Not only more than Solomon ever was on his of ivory, but even more than he himself on any throne with which the heavens could provide him. Though the heavens surpass Mary in outward grandeur, yet she surpasses them in invisible perfections. Oh, may the great Saint Joseph give us some of the consolation that filled his soul. May the Blessed Mother lend us something of her own love, and the infant Jesus mercifully pour into our hearts of the infinite abundance of his merits. The love we give our Lord in the crib will be returned beyond compare, even if we feel no emotion or tenderness. Think of the ox and the ass in the stable. They had no such emotions or love to give our Lord, yet he accepted the gift of their breath to keep him warm. He will not refuse the aspirations of our poor hearts, even if today we feel no devotion. We are surely his, always offering to serve our Lord, his Holy Mother, and his dear protector, Saint Joseph. Let us all look to cultivate a devotion to this great saint and learn from his teaching. He learned to imitate the sweetness and gentleness of Jesus, learning to be meek and humble of heart. As promised by our Lord in the Beatitudes, our holy patron possessed the land. Nothing could resist him. Heretics, however obstinate, sinners, however hardened, tepid souls, however sluggish, all yielded to the powerful charm of his word and example. Not only did he receive a good education gratefully, he offered it all back to God to reap bountiful fruits from his work. all of it, put together, filled 26 volumes, among which his Introduction to the Devout Life and Treatise on the Love of God are the most famous and have never been out of print since the 17th century. St. Francis de Sales gave much advice to people in all walks of life by writing letters to them, which have been collected and published. The main thrust of Salesian spirituality is that holiness is for everyone. It is not reserved for the select few in religious life. So let us resolve this year to learn more of what this great saint has to teach us, to be meek and humble of heart, like our Lord and Savior. St. Francis de Sales, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.